Tonight, we are on Concept 12, page C48, in the back of the 2021 through 2023 Red Service Manual, which reads, General Warranties of the Conference. In all its proceedings, the General Service Conference shall observe the spirit of the AA tradition, taking great care that the conference never becomes the seat of perilous wealth or power, that sufficient operating funds plus an ample reserve be its prudent financial principle, that none of the conference members shall ever be placed in a position of unqualified authority over any of the others, that all important decisions be reached by discussion, vote, and, wherever possible, by substantial unanimity, that no conference action ever be personally punitive or an incitement to public controversy, that though the conference may act for the service of Alcoholics Anonymous, it shall never perform any acts of government, and that, like the Society of Alcoholics Anonymous, which it serves, the conference itself will always remain democratic in thought and action. Billy, you'll have until 2 minutes till the top of the hour. The time is yours.
Thanks, Brooke. Billy Alcoholic. Welcome, everyone. And just a big reminder that I know that even some of my friend Big Book Thumpers would want to fight with me. That every day is the same day, blah, 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 blah. But that's if you've been through the steps. For new people, this is like the hardest time of the year. It's also the heaviest recruitment season. All you got to do is go to anniversary meetings in December, January, and February and compare them to the size of the summer. And you know that this is heavy recruiting season. You also know that most of these newcomers, unlike the rest of the year, they got to be around their family more. They got to be around alcohol more. It's easy for people to say flippant things like, well, just don't go. Well, you're talking about people who have probably ignored their family for years. So if they're like a month or two sober, they probably are expected to go to the work holiday party or show up at Christmas Eve dinner. So that's just not an acceptable answer. I'm just telling people, like, be there for new people, go to your local Alcathon, look for people who are coming in. It's a really, really difficult time of year for a lot of people. And I'm not saying that people with time don't have a difficult time of year this time of year either. But again, the new people. So that's always my constant reminder to don't let the service manual get in front of your eyes and block it from somebody dying of alcoholism. So let me just get to the right page. I will date myself and say that I am a delegate of the 1999-2000 version. And I was a trustee from 2013 to 2017. While the principles don't change, some of our policies and procedures do change, especially this one. Anything I say is just my experience. I will kind of point out where there are differences of opinion today, without trying to say whose opinion is right. The group conscience is always right. But AA is not static and is fluid, and things change. So as we read this concept, and especially this warranty, I don't want to let it get me into any trouble. Which, depending on who's listening, but I'm going to try to just give both sides of a lot of these things. So, warranty three. None of the conference members shall be placed in a position of unqualified authority over over any of the others. It goes on to say, we have learned that this principle is of incalculable, listen to that adjective, incalculable value to the harmonious conduct of our conference affairs. Its application to our structure has already been extensively discussed under the concept entitled the right of participation, which emphasizes that our world servants, both as individuals and as groups, should be entitled to voting rights in reasonable proportion to their several responsibilities. So if we take it from there, just a brief review of concept four. 135 members, usually of the General Service Conference, each has one vote. They are individually equal to each other. However, there are four groups of voters: the area delegates, the trustees, the directors, and the staff of GSO and AA Grapevine. There's 93 area delegates, 21 trustees, 6 directors, and about 15 AA Grapevine and AA GSO staff members get a vote. So the groups are not equal to each other. They were never meant to be. As I just read, both as individuals and groups shall be entitled to voting rights in reasonable proportion to their several responsibilities. So since AA was given to the groups, the reasonable proportion for the delegates is that they have 2/3 or better of the voters. The conference, though, is much different than it was when it started. Today, the trustees set the agenda. That wasn't always that way. Although there is a conference agenda committee made up of delegates, they deal with things in the future about the agenda, but not the current agenda. We have a PAI process, which that's another acronym in an organization that the last thing we needed was another acronym, but proposed agenda item. You send that into the board, to the office. Then it gets distributed to the appropriate trustee committee or AAWS or AA Grapevine. If they don't know where to send it, they send it to the conference, the trustees conference committee, and they decide what trustees committee to send it to. That trustees committee evaluates the PAI and decides whether to send it to the conference or not. There's a couple of things that could happen without it going to the conference. As somebody who served on the conference committee and as chair of the trustees conference committee, the first thing you look at when you look at a PAI is, does the conference need to get involved? Is it a matter of lodge policy and finance? Because if it's something that a trustees committee or a AAWS board or the AA Grapevine board can deal with, you just send it to them to deal with it. Not everything has to be a conference action. We have tons of literature that is service material, not conference material. The next thing we look at is, has this been on the agenda like the last 3 years? Like, do we need to send it again to the conference? Do we have a good feeling that we've disposed of this item efficiently? And maybe we'll let a couple of years go by. The next thing is, and an individual can send in a proposed agenda item, but there's no doubt, as someone that has been one of the people that look at it, you look at it where it comes from. It doesn't mean you discount an individual that sends something in. An individual might send in a really good agenda item. But let's say it's an agenda item that I'm not really sure belongs on the conference agenda, but if a whole area voted 2/3 to send it in, that's going to have a lot of impact on me. That this is not just one person. This is not just even a group. It's not even a district. It's a whole area. The problem with that has become the deadline submission date for agenda items is now September 30th. It was September 15th, but it was September 30th this year. We've moved back the deadline, and the only people we've harmed are the groups. And I'm not saying it was intentional. Many things we do in life are unintended consequences. Most of us are experts in them. We're people that are very familiar with having good intentions and not thinking about the unintended consequences. But look at what we've done by moving that date back. We don't send the background earlier to GSRs. We're not giving them more time to go after their groups. They still get it after September 15th. You still basically have maybe one or two business meetings to get feedback from your groups. But maybe the worst thing we've done by moving it back to September 15th is usually the General Service Conference is the second or third week of April. Sometimes it's early, sometimes it's late, but it's usually in the middle. So your delegate comes back from the General Service Conference at the end of April. Most areas don't have their next assembly till the summer, some in June, but the summer. So, and then after the summer, when's the next assembly? In the fall or in September or October? So you have one assembly after the delegate returns if your group wants something to go from the group to the district to the area. In many areas, you don't even meet the guidelines because they have rules on how early you have to submit something. So we're making it harder for things. You know, people say, why are more individuals sending things in? Well, I think one of the answers we're not talking about is there's no time to go to the area assembly and for the area assembly to get it sent in before the deadline. But we're not talking about that at all. And I think it's something that needs to be talked about. Now, I am not one of these people who believe that the trustees are intentionally keeping things off the agenda because it's not something I witnessed. When the trustees take no action, it's usually for a very good reason. At the conference, everybody is supposed to be equal. But one of the things you can't help is that it's going to be natural human nature that as people go up down the upside down triangle, they want to keep going down. And so you have 93 delegates, and maybe a few of them are thinking about being a trustee in a couple of years or a director. We have to hope that the people we elect don't go there starry-eyed. I call it GSO starry-eyed. Like that's not their job. And again, I'm not, you should be proud to go. And maybe you have a trustee that you admire, and that's fine. But you have a job to do, and it's not to keep the other delegates on your committee happy. And it's not to keep the trustees happy. Now, it's not to be ugly and a malcontent, but you're there, and I know you're supposed to vote to do the best for AA, but you are there and rep and voted in by your area to bring your area's conscience. And to make sure that the rest of the, you know, let's talk about it. First, it's in the area, it's in the committee. In the conference committee, there are nine delegates from different parts of the country and Canada. There's going to be different views there. Now, that is a situation, just talking about conference committees, where one of the people in the room is not of equal authority. Every conference committee has a staff secretary. In that role as staff secretary, the staff secretary is not equal to the other nine delegate committee members. They do not have a vote, and they're not supposed to give an opinion. They are there to take minutes, and they are there if a committee needs additional information that they can maybe go out to the workroom or the archivist and get additional information if they need it or give institutional history. But when the conference really starts on Wednesday after the committees are done with their business, everybody is equal. And this warranty references concept four, because one of the things I want to talk about is that unity, or I should say this, unanimity does not always mean unity. We are an organization, especially in concept four, at the end of the concept, it says the trustees should have as divided opinion with each other as the delegates do. That's what makes, that's the beauty, that is the secret sauce of Alcoholics Anonymous. That we don't send 93 robots there, and we don't have 21 robot trustees. Everyone is entitled to their decision, or to their opinion and experience. I have not seen a lot of, I mean, the only thing I could get called out on, and believe me, if there was some friends of mine here who disagree with me, they would call me out, is I think we have to have a better process for censuring the board. That doesn't mean I'm in favor of censuring the board every year. That doesn't mean that I don't think censure should be the last possible stop, because I do. But there has to be some kind of process for censoring the board motions. Because it's kind of like reporting being beat up by a police officer to the police department. Like, there's a reason that in the world there's independent, conflict-free kind of panels out there. Because right now the process is if you send in a motion to censure, it goes to the trustees nominating committee. How can the body who someone wants to censure give a conflict-free opinion of that proposed agenda item? And again, I'm not in favor of all these motions to censure. I'm not saying there should be one every year. I'm talking about the process, that the process needs to be fair. And I'm confident in a couple of years' time that they might deal with this process. Some people complain about background information because the staff put it together. So is that unqualified authority? Well, it takes enough hours as it is to be a delegate. Delegates can't put background together. But I do want to say this. Even though I hear some people say you can't bring your own background, there's no advisory action that says that. If you're a delegate and you get all the background for all the committees, and let's just say your committee, the one you're on, you're not restricted from doing your own research in AA Comes of Age or past advisory action book or other AA literature. Like, you should be armed with all the information you need. And be willing to share it with other people on your committee. And I mean sharing it in that room, not sending them things and lobbying, but in that room saying, hey, I saw this in AA Comes of Age. I know it wasn't in our background, but it seems to apply directly to this thing. The other thing is people who complain about staff putting the background together. After the background goes out, it is okay to contact your regional trustee or the trustee chair of that committee and say, hey, I think something's missing from the background that's really important. And there are times when additional background has been added. Background is super, super important. And, just because you do your own research, I mean, I think the dirty, dark secret that we're not supposed to talk about is that there are delegates who show up every year who've read none of the background. That's a fact. I'm not. Do you know how many trustees and staff members I've talked to and other delegates who've told me that they just couldn't believe it? They were so disappointed that someone would be funded to go all the way to New York and they weren't prepared. And I want to remind you that that's your job for your delegate. Like, elect somebody who's going to be prepared. Elect someone who's going to do the work to be prepared. Just simply taking a trip to go see a GSO and Stepping Stones and have some ice cream at night. While those are nice fellowship things, that is not the purpose of being a delegate. I sometimes think that more time is taken on bringing the information back than bringing the information to. And by that I mean is these elaborate presentations of what went on in New York and what percentage of the presentation is actually about the business. And I know I just will I disclose that there are people who think different than me. I said this at the delegates reunion in the Southeast about ice cream parties and everything else, and a delegate got really mad and said, "That is an important part of the week, and I just choose to disagree. It doesn't even mean I'm right. I just think that the 93 areas are spending." Remember, yes, each area sends in its money to fund their delegate, whatever they can afford usually. But also remember that the rest of the money for the General Service Conference is coming from the group contributions that were already sent in. Like, we spend $700,000 a year, $700,000 to have this 1 week meeting. And I believe we should take advantage of every minute of that for the important AA business. And in my experience, when that business is going on, no conference member does have authority over another or more authority. Somebody brought up at a recent regional forum that I was at, and I think it's a good question for people to think about for the future, but I'll just state facts. The Grapevine built an app. They used $1 million of reserve fund money to build that app. Now, that app is 85% below where it's supposed to be today regarding subscriptions to the app. But I think somebody brought up at the forum a really good question is, if Concept 6 says large matters of policy and finance belong to the conference, is $1 million of our reserve fund a decision that should just be made by a few members of the conference, meaning the trustees or the Grapevine board? Was that a matter of large policy and finance that maybe should have gone to the conference? Should the conference have been asked, should we spend $1 million out of our reserve fund? The reserve fund, which, by the way, was already 2 months below the 9 month minimum, would that have been a good question for the delegates? That's an excellent point that a couple of people have made. Again, I'm just throwing things out there for you to think about and read about. Whatever decision you come to, that's the beauty of Alcoholics Anonymous. If I have one soapbox to stand on today, is for people to stop getting mad at other people for simply having a different opinion. We are entitled to a different opinion in Alcoholics Anonymous. You're not entitled to be a jerk. You're not entitled to raise your voice. You're not entitled to roll your eyes when someone else is speaking. But for people to just get mad at other people or to label them some kind of conspiracy nut because they don't agree, that's not fair. And as we talk about one of these other warranties, we'll know why, which is I'll go into that warranty right now. That important decisions be reached by discussion, vote, and whenever possible, substantial unanimity. Now, if you're not familiar with the AA group pamphlet, please read the section on informed group conscience. It's very good. But we are not supposed to, we say we have two speeds in AA, slow and in reverse. And sometimes reverse is safest. Now, have we been too slow on things? Yes. My view of the conference, this is just my view. We've been super fast on changing the message and super slow on implementing technology. I wish those were reversed. I wish the speed at which we would change our literature was used at how we grasp technology. And I have a lot of positivity to spread about what I see all over the country. I want to say 2 years ago, I walked into a assembly in Northern California, and it was in San Francisco. I was at an AA event in Marin, and when I got there and went to the registration table, what was I greeted with but QR codes? Like there was a QR code to register. There was a QR code to get the minutes from the last meeting. There was a QR code to get certain reports for that meeting. That's amazing. Even at this past regional forum, there was a QR code to register for. There are so many things. I'm just using QR code as an example, but there are so many things we can do. But it is really part of AA. It's an intricate part, a critical part. By discussion, vote, and whenever possible, substantial unanimity. That we don't want to do things just what a majority says. We want it to be substantial. We want it to be two-thirds. And discussion should be fair. And what's fair discussion? It's easier for me to tell you what unfair discussion looks like. Unfair discussion is when I get online at the microphone to give you my 2 cents, and then I get back online to table the motion as soon as I get back to the microphone. Unfair discussion is when only one or two people have shared that I make a motion to call the question. And hopefully we have good chair people who can realize, wow, we haven't even heard from three pro and three con yet. We're going to wait before we take that kind of action. And the other thing I would stress is that there really are very few emergencies in Alcoholics Anonymous. You show me something that's blown up in the fellowship, and I'll show you something that was rushed. If you have to put off another assembly meeting, so be it. If you have to put off to next year's General Service Conference, so be it. Now, I'm not pointing at the trustees here. I'm pointing at everybody. I'm pointing at districts, assemblies. Sometimes we suffer from a disease called legacy building. That's different than legacy skipping. Legacy building is when I want to be known for something, like I got this done. And sometimes when we're going to rotate, we're like, God, I got to get it done now. Otherwise, my name won't be associated with this. Sometimes I think God works in mysterious ways in AA, that it's sometimes often best that if it's your idea, someone else gets credit for it. I can't tell you how many times I've read a set of minutes and I've been like, wow, that was my idea 10 years ago. My name is not on this sheet of paper. I am not included as an attendee at this meeting. And sometimes I think that's just the way it's supposed to be. But the most important thing is that we have all the discussion we need. In the informed group conscience section of the AA group pamphlet, it talks about it. We should have so much discussion that the vote becomes almost not needed. So let's go on to Warren T5. That no conference action should be personally punitive or an incitement to public controversy. So we do not personally pick on people. We deal with the structure and we deal with the issue. Now, in the last couple of years, only because there have been a lot of motions to censure the board, a theory has come about, which is like the theory of stealing money in AA. In the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, which I would call the real original service manual, there's a section on making amends. There's even a section on stealing money, basically, or committing crimes. And in that section, it says, you may need to go to jail. But the question is, how free do you want to be? What is not in that section, and by the way, I checked the plain language big book to make sure it's not in there either. What is not in that section is except if you steal money from Alcoholics Anonymous, then it is perfectly okay. Because there are some people out there who want others to believe that if you hold somebody accountable for stealing money, you're being punitive. Nothing could be more opposite. I want to give some real life examples. In another country, a Class A trustee went to prison for stealing money from the General Service Board of that country. In the Northeast region, about 8, 10 years ago, a treasurer of an area was sentenced to 13 years. I want to say like 10 of those years was suspended. But people don't realize that most areas are incorporated. About every intergroup is incorporated. And most of those corporations ask the IRS to declare them 501c3s, nonprofit corporations. In many states in America, it is not optional to report an officer who steals money from a nonprofit. Like some people think nonprofit means, oh, we just get to don't pay taxes. We don't got to do what everyone else does. I would just say I'm not a lawyer, but I have served on the board of many nonprofits in AA and out. You're expected to act better than for-profit organizations. Your minutes are supposed to be better. Your record keeping is supposed to be better. Your financial accounting is supposed to be better. And your fiduciary responsibility is held at a higher level. In most states, like the state where this treasurer was convicted, if an officer of a nonprofit embezzles or steals money, you have to report it. If you don't report it, you risk two things usually: losing your nonprofit status if they find out, And then retroactively paying taxes for a certain amount of years. Like, we agree to those things when we accept being a nonprofit in certain states. See, because the IRS just sends you a letter that you don't have to pay taxes. Any of you could Google, just Google your state name, Attorney General, regulations for charities and nonprofits. It's the individual states that regulate the conduct, not the tax, the conduct of nonprofits. Now, I'm not saying here every group or district should prosecute everyone who steals money. I personally believe that is the group conscience of that group or that district. It's just when the law doesn't give you a way around, I don't think AA's, has an exception to following the law. But there's nothing in our literature that says holding someone accountable for stealing money is punitive. Let's talk about another punitive situation. AA members who don't do their job. They raise their hand, they really want the title, and then they don't show up. It is not punitive to remove someone from a position in AA. Should it be the first thing you do? Of course not. I've been the chair of a few nonprofit corporations. At times, have I had a list in my head of people I would like to remove from the board? Probably. I'm human like anyone else. But when you're the chair, your job is to have decent conversations. If someone's not showing up for their district commitment, then the district chair should have a cup of coffee with them. Ask them, maybe is life too busy right now? Would it be better if they stepped aside? But believe it or not, there are people who will not step aside but will still not show up or do their job. There is nothing punitive about removing someone from not doing their job. What is punitive is if, like, you wrote about it in your area or in a group or district newsletter. That would be punitive. But the minutes, just say the motion to remove the secretary or whatever passed. And then the next thing should be the election to elect the new one. But we can't handcuff AA committees by people who are not going to show up and do the job they're supposed to do. The latest trend in punitive expansion of the word has been in the motions to censure, that some people believe it is punitive to censure the board. That might be crazier than the other two types of rationalization that I heard, because let's talk about censure and reorganization. Those are the two remedies in the service manual if the fellowship is not happy with the board. Censure is a warning, a slap on the wrist. It's a motion that passes that says, we don't like what you did. Please don't do it again. That's a censure. How could a remedy that's talked about in the service manual and the concepts be punitive? It's the suggestion of the service manual that that's how we deal with it, that that is the principled way to deal with it. Reorganization is the hard one. That's when you ask people to step down from their job. So, incitement to public controversy, I just want to cover that. It means that we as AA, and remember, the office and the boards come under the General Service Conference. We don't do things to incite public controversy. When your manuscript litigation was dropped a couple of years ago, one of the things the board said is that it incited too much controversy in the fellowship. Well, the fellowship was mad because it incited too much controversy in the press. that when you start a lawsuit, it's very public. So newspaper articles that AA World Services and the General Service Board was suing a member of AA. We don't do things to incite public controversy, and that's why our public relations policy is so important. We don't have opinions on outside issues. Why? But it's so important, it's a warranty. Because we don't incite public controversy. We don't want someone saying, well, AA is against this, or AA is for this. It's why we cooperate with outside organizations, but we don't align with them and we don't join them. I get a call all the time about so-called recovery days or recovery fairs or recovery walks or God knows what else we have these days. It is perfectly okay for a public information committee or a cooperation with professional community committee to go to a recovery fair. What it is not okay to do is to join the local recovery advisory council. We don't do that. While there are certain staff members at GSO who might cooperate with the NIHHH, which is the National Institute on Health and whatever else, and we might go to those meetings to cooperate and provide information, but we don't join as members of the committee. We don't let them say AA was part of this. We don't do that. And you know that there are a lot of organizations that do a lot of good work. There's organizations that deal with fraternity and sorority hazing and binge drinking at universities. There's organizations that deal with drunk driving. There's organizations that deal with fetal alcohol syndrome. There's organizations that deal with domestic violence that they tie to alcohol use. These are all organizations that do amazing work. But for a lot of them, they'd want nothing more than the list of their supporters, Alcoholics Anonymous. And when you think about it, why is that? Because our number one responsibility is to the alcoholic who still suffers. That person needs to know that we don't care what they've done. That's for the courts to deal with. Or other agencies to deal with. We just deal with if you have a drinking problem, as the old PI poster says, or billboard. If you have a problem with drinking, that's your problem. That's your business. If you want to stop, that's ours. That's the only thing we tie ourselves up with. Warranty six, though the conference may act for the service of Alcoholics Anonymous, it shall never perform any acts of government, and that, like the Society of Alcoholics Anonymous, which it serves, the conference itself will forever remain democratic in action and spirit. Because the conference can do a lot of things, but it can't tell the groups what to do. We could change the preamble. We can't tell them that you're not a group if you don't read it. We don't make governmental rules like, unless you read how it works, the first three paragraphs of more about alcoholism and the preamble, you are not a certified AA group. There's no such thing as a certified AA group. We don't have any acts of government, which drive people crazy, drove me crazy sometimes. We don't tell people, you can look at, when you get a new group package. Or you try to get information about starting a group. You know what we don't tell you? What color to paint the fire exit signs. You know why? That's someone else's business. We don't do acts of government. We don't tell you how often to shovel the snow. We're not in the shoveling the snow business. We may. We don't tell you how much lighting to have in your parking lot. Okay? We sell shades that have the tradition steps and concepts on them. But there's plenty of groups, especially old school groups, that have their own. They painted them on the wall, they made some other thing. If you've ever seen other organizations like use the shades, for example, if we were another organization, there would be a section in our guidelines about when you hang the steps on the wall, they must be this many inches wide and this many inches long, and the writing must be this many inches big, and it must be in this font. We don't do that. We're not in that business. Now, what we do is stick to the board's business of like the blue people. That's not an act of government. That's just saying these are ours. They don't belong to you. The blue people belong to AAWS, technically. They have the trademark on it. If you don't know what the group blue people are, go to the AAWS website, AA.org, and look at the blue people on it. But only AA Grapevine, AAWS, and the General Service Board can use them. That's it. Intergroups can't use them. Other countries can't use them. Now, do they? From time to time. And they get a nice letter asking them kindly to stop using it. But that's saying don't use something that's ours. We don't tell you what to do with your stuff. And sometimes the lack of regulation drives people crazy in Alcoholics Anonymous. Like, I can tell you that my new country is Russia, but I just got done spending weeks upon weeks with the trustees in Iran. And every question basically started with, can we? Every question. Can we do this? Can we do this? And every answer started with, well, you can do whatever you want, but we don't tell those above us on the upside down triangle what to do. That's none of our business. We share experience, and the conference decides what literature should look like. But we get so tempted to want to regulate things. And sure, there are lots of us that have probably been to meetings we did not like. It happens from time to time. But AA is like a mad scientist laboratory. There's no real perfect potion. There's no perfect kind of ingredients. It's like we're the most imperfect, perfect society in the world. That somehow, in all this imperfection, the miracle of sobriety is born without overregulation. So with that, I'm going to go to some questions if anyone has them. Okay, I'm going to read some right now. In regards to the upside down triangle diagram in the service manual on page 103, would it require submission of a PAI to put GSRs on the line with the home group instead of below the home group? No, it would not. That diagram is not conference approved. It's inserted in a conference approved book. If they printed a new book, they would put the new diagram in. You should send that in to AA World Services and let them assign that to a committee. It possible that these conference weekends and the social gatherings are getting primary focus for report back because the area assemblies these delegates are coming from may do the same thing by putting business on the last day after everything else? That could be true. I know that Oregon recently voted to change that. They're a weekend assembly. They decided to put their business, I want to say, on Saturday. Listen, I have a few pet peeves. One of them is that assemblies should be GSR centric and focused. It should be what's ever easier for the groups from a cost point of view, from a time point of view. Let's see. Do you agree with the decision to stop the manuscript litigation? I'm going to, if somebody wants to contact me and ask me that question, I think that's been beaten into the, yes, I obviously agree with it. So, because the board was so mad at me that I opposed it, for many reasons. One of those reasons was, I happened to be a director a long time ago, so I knew some information that hadn't been disclosed to the current board that if it had, they probably wouldn't have started the litigation. In your experience, what are the pros and cons of electing committee chairs at area or district levels versus the pros and cons of appointing them? That's a great, great question to the person who asked that question. I really think. First of all, let me say this. I think each area and district should have its group conscience, and that's what should decide it. However, it should not be the group conscience of 1978 as to whether you appoint or elect. It should be the current group conscience. And the time to change it is not in the middle of that election. I tell people this, and I know I'm a broken record. If you're trying to change something in the current AA service year, you're too late. It's not going to get done. Somebody said to me at the regional forum that somebody told them that I said that AA was going to run out of money this year. Yeah, AA is not going to run out of money this year. If you look at the reserve fund of 9 to 12 months, that's even 6 months now, but that's 6 months at no money coming in, okay? If half the money is coming in, that's 12 months, okay? If two-thirds or three-quarters of the money is coming in, it's almost 20 months, okay? Now, am I on record of saying that our current business model of the Grapevine and Lavinia losing $1 million plus a year is not sustainable? Yes. But you don't got to be a business professional. You don't even have to be, very few people could not figure that question out. You cannot lose $1 million a year and stay in business. So have I said it's not sustainable? Yes, the model needs to change. But I'm very honest about you can't change the model this year. You have to do what other organizations do. You have to look out to 2028 or 2030, and you have to say, where do we want to be then? But that goes against legacy building, because that means then the current people won't get credit for doing it. It's a convoluted nightmare, vicious circle. But it's why Bill listed vision as one of the most important qualities in Concept 9 of a leader. You look at any good for-profit or nonprofit company today, their 2025 business plan might be important to read, but it's not the most important. You want to see their 2030 strategic plan. Who cares what they're going to look like this year? That's status quo. What do we need to be in 5 years? Because AA will be different then, and technology will be different. Like, you have to be building on a plan for the future. But those things are difficult. I think I'm not opposed to appointing, but there's a lot of things to think about. If you're talking about an area, you have to think about district representation. If you're talking about an area, every area has a north, a south, an east, and a west. You got to talk about geographic representation. Like, you got to hope that the people that you're electing to get to appoint these people are keeping that in the back of their head. Now, you also have to know that if you go to election, that goes out the window. Then it's whoever gets elected or happens to come out of the hat. Like I said, I think each area or district is best to figure that out for themselves. But if they haven't looked at that question in 20 years or 30 years, maybe they should look at it for what it should be like in 2028 or 2030. Any other questions? Yes, a flyer will go out about a new service manual study in the next couple of weeks, just so you know. I hope everyone has been able to get a copy of the new service manual on the AA.org. But we have 1 minute for another question. How is a no confidence, how is non-confidence in the chair handled? So I don't know what chair you mean. It could be area chair, it could be district chair, it could be chair of intergroup. I have never seen a non-confidence vote in all of my AA service history. That doesn't mean it couldn't happen. I would hope that if a chairperson of any service entity was either behaving that badly or doing that bad a job, that someone or a couple of people could have a conversation with that person before it came to a motion. That being said, if that person was doing, the question you have to ask yourself is, how much time is left in their term? How much damage will be done by them finishing out their term? Let's face it, 1 year into chair of the General Service Board, the General Service Board wanted the chair to resign, and last year the chair did resign. So I don't think, I'm a crazy critical thinker. I know that about myself, and I can't expect everyone else to think like me or how I think. So everybody knows I didn't sign the past trustee letter last year about the chair issue. My signature's not on there. And it's not on there for a lot of reasons. But one of the reasons that I had trouble with it was that they made that decision in a couple of hours. And I wondered how that would be for other servants, because if I was at an area assembly and someone said, let's throw out the area chair, I think that I would say at the microphone, maybe we should like think about this till the next assembly. And my life in the business world, I always know that business problems that get handled like divorces don't go away because people are too emotional. So I think I don't like rush decisions. And so I think that was a quick decision. Even if it was the right decision, it was quick. Someone asked, is censuring the same thing as no confidence? No, censuring is just a warning. It's just an official vote that the body doesn't like the way something was handled. That's all it is. Okay, that is it. Brooke, thank you very much. Everybody, thank you very much for going through the 12 concepts. Really appreciate it. Really appreciate the people who ask questions, because I can tell you I run into people who listen to these recordings. And they all say that they love the question section. They love the questions. So I'm very thankful to people who ask questions, and we get people from different parts of the world, so it's difficult sometimes, but I even appreciate the New York Mets fans from different parts of the world, right? There he is. He knows who I'm talking about. I appreciate them. I appreciate everybody who comes. So the notice about the service manual study will go out. That's it. Thanks, Brooke.
All audio and video files on the District 6AA.org website or the District 6 in Area 15 YouTube channel are for personal use only. Reproduction, distribution, and commercial use are not permitted. In accordance with District 6 current practice, no faces are shown in our videos and audio is scrubbed for anonymity prior to publishing. Contributors whose voices are heard have given record and release consent. Opinions expressed by the presenter are their own and do not necessarily represent the group conscience of District 6 as a whole.